Well, can I ask you to turn, please, this morning to the hymn number 40. We're using the hymn books this morning. We're using the hymn books, so I was told to tell you that. It's number 40 on page 191. O worship the King, all glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love. Number 40, we'll sing all of the hymn, and let us stand, please, as we praise and worship the Lord together. Unite our hearts together this morning in prayer as we seek the Lord now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only approach unto God through Christ, all that he is and all that he has done. So let us all seek the Lord and pray that the Lord will bless and help us this morning. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts reverently and humbly before thee in the Savior's precious and worthy name. We seek thee, Lord, in prayer. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, to look upon us and favor us today as we gather here to worship and to praise thy great name. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for even how thou dost call. Thou dost call men and women to give thee worship and praise. The Father seeketh such to worship him. But we must worship thee in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we come casting aside all our sins and all our self-righteousness, all our backslidings. We cast aside everything that is not convenient for this time. And we come before thee, Lord, and we acknowledge that thou art God, and besides thee, there is none else. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And, O Father, we praise thee for ever revealing thyself to us in the wonderful book of Scripture. Lord, we do not worship a God today of our own imagination. We do not come, Lord, to worship the gods of men, but rather we come to worship the God who has revealed himself in the Scriptures of truth. Lord, we realize that thy power and Godhead are revealed in creation, but that does not, Lord, and is not sufficient to save us. Rather, Lord, we thank thee for the revelation of God, the manifestation of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that how it is recorded in Holy Scripture that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Lord, we praise thee and thank thee that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Lord, we're frail and feeble men and women. And we would, Lord, express even to thee today, we need thy help even to worship thee. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God will help us in our worship and our praise, our reading of the word and our hearing of the word this very day. Father, we thank thee for this congregation and this testimony here in this part of the city of Belfast. We pray that thou will bless the oversight, bless every member and every friend and every family that's represented here this morning. We do commend to thy grace the pastor and his family and that wider family circle who have known bereavement in the last couple of days, that will draw near to them. And we praise thee, Lord, that they do not mourn as others who have no hope. For we thank thee for one who has left behind that testimony to the saving grace of God. They lived trusting Christ, and they died in faith, trusting Christ. But yet, Lord, the loss is real. We pray that thou will draw near to the family and comfort them. Others, Lord, who have known bereavement in recent times, that thou will draw near to them and bless them. Give them, Lord, the counsel of thy precious word. Give them, Lord, the comfort. We thank thee that no one comforts like the Lord comforts. Father, remember those who are ill and sick, those unable to be out today. We pray that thou will be with them where they are and bless them. Those watching online, Lord, bless again as they would listen, and that they would praise and sing the hymns along with us and read the Bible and again hear its truth. We pray, Lord, that thou will bless, Father, all our churches today across our little province, across the United Kingdom, and the Republic of Ireland and across the globe. Bless, Lord, we pray, thy servants and thy dear people. Remember, Lord, our missionaries. Remember, Father, the ministry of Let the Bible Speak and sermon audio and those who hear the word through those means. We thank Thee, Lord, even for the means. We know, Lord, there are parts of the world where it's very dangerous to name the name of Christ. But yet, Lord, we thank Thee that through modern technology, people are able to hear the gospel, and we pray that many will come and trust the Lord today. And Father, we pray for all Thy people. We pray, Lord, for every faithful church of Jesus Christ, every faithful herald of the cross, those that are preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And we pray that they will know the Lord's help even as they proclaim His saving truth in the world today. Lord, remember our nation. Remember those in authority over us. And grant, O God, divine intervention. Lord, as we lift our eyes across our globe today, we pray especially for Turkey and Syria. We pray, Lord, that Thou will bless relief efforts that are being made to bring so many help and sustenance at this time. Bless Thy people who would be there and give them help, Lord, even in the midst of such tragedy, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also pray again, Father, that Thou wilt intervene in Ukraine and bring that terrible war to an end. We pray this, Lord, for Thy glory. So, Father, continue with us. Bless every soul in the house today. Bless, O God, our fellowship together, our worship time. And, Lord, be glorified in our meeting. We ask this all in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to further sing to God's praise, hymn 125. Hymn 125. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight returned victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. 125, and we'll stand again, please, as we sing.
Return victorious, every
If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to read from the book of Psalms, and this morning it is Psalm 115. Psalm 115, and we want to read this psalm this morning. So let us hear the words of the Lord, and we'll read from verse marked 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not, feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. May God bless the reading of Holy Scripture this morning to every heart. Our brother Derek's going to come and make the announcements, please, at this time.
I'd also like to welcome our preacher this morning, Mr. Stephen Jamieson. Stephen is an elder in our Newton Ards congregation, and he has kept busy throughout the year preaching, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has laid upon our brother's heart this morning. And we do know, trust that the Lord will know the Lord's presence and the Lord's help even in the service throughout today. Death's hand has been upon us in the congregation again, and on behalf of our session committee and entire congregation, we want to express our sympathy, first of all, to Celia and Paul Roberts on the home calling of Celia's father, Mr. Cecil Greenley. And we also remember at this time Paul and Celia, but also we would think of Andrew and Rachel and Lily, and also Celia's brother Jim and Graham. And we do trust that they will know the Lord's help and the Lord's presence. And we also think of our brother Jim Armstrong, because Jim and Cecil were very dear friends, and he has also found it keenly. The funeral service for Cecil will be held on Wednesday at 12:30 in McGeehan Memorial Church of the Nazarene in Lower Newton Ards Road. And we'd also ask you to, our brother Paul will be passing on a word of testimony in our Armagh congregation tonight. So we just ask that you would pray also for Paul and Celia as they will travel to Armagh this evening. And would know much of the Lord's help and the Lord's presence and his grace at this time. And also to our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, to Reverend and Mrs. Wilson, to Kirsten, Leah and Isaac. We also want to pass on our sympathy to them on the passing of Mr. Wilson's grandmother, Mrs. Monteith. And I would like to just read out a small tribute this morning on behalf of our congregation. And it just reads as this: some of us in this assembly, along with others throughout our denomination, have been privileged to have been associated with the Free Presbyterian Church since 1960s. Among that number are Mr. Ernest Monteith and his late wife, Mrs. Monteith, and their family. This morning, we sorrow with the family in marking the home call of Mrs. Monteith and extend to them our sincere Christian condolences. The Monteith name, very deservedly, has an honoured place in the unwritten history of our denomination, especially in County Tyrone, but also in our general presbytery and throughout the church family. Our founding father, the long-time moderator, Dr. Paisley, oft-times paid tribute to the selfless and dedicated service of both Mr. and Mrs. Monteith, and his words were spoken in truth. Foundational and faithful members and very dedicated workers in the cause of the gospel of Christ, the Monteith family home was ever open to many young preachers of the fledgling denomination. And the frequent hospitality and offer, together with the warm-hearted fellowship of a loving home, has left a legacy of very special memories. These memories are ever so poignant today as we mark the passing of Mrs. Monteith and salute her memory. We in this assembly, through the special privilege of having the Reverend Wilson as our pastor, have our unique reason to thank God for the life and testimony of Mrs. Monteith and her dear brother Ernie, her beloved husband of so many years. The memory of the just is blessed. And Mrs. Monteith's funeral service is tomorrow at 1:30 in our Oma congregation. And also to express sympathy to our brother church secretary, Mr. John Kennedy, on the death of his aunt, and to John and to Dorothy and their family, we will keep you in our prayers. The announcements are as follows: in the will of God, there is a Sunday school in Redburn this afternoon, Redburn Community Centre at 2:30. And then the prayer meeting this evening at 6 o'clock. And then the gospel service, our speaker is our own, one of our own elders here, Mr. Daines Hugh Pritchard, and Mr. Jonathan Mitchell will be singing. 6:30, the Explorers Club will be going to a trip to the printing works at the Every Home Crusade. And also our Bible study and prayer meeting is also on Tuesday night. And just remember the children as they will travel to that work, and just to see what the Lord is doing. And perhaps even we'll see boys and girls coming and trusting Christ as their Saviour. On Friday night, the Youth Fellowship, and the speaker is Mr. Richard McVeigh, and the men's prayer meeting on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Sunday, next Lord's Day, the 26th of February, 10:15 Sunday School and Bible classes. Morning worship service will be at 11:30. Sunday School in Redburn Community Centre at 2:30. And the gospel service at 6:30. And in the will of God, Mr. Wilson will be here to preach. And all the services are preceded by a time of prayer. And also next Saturday at 10:55, there'll be a memorial service for our late brother, Fred Starrett, and his colleague, James Cummings, who was murdered by the IRA. And that memorial service will be at the usual place. And if you're free, I've no doubt Violet would be pleased to see you there. Other announcement: the committee meeting planned for this Thursday night has been postponed and put back until Thursday the 9th of March, God willing. And the children's training sermon are planned for the night. That night on the 9th will be rearranged for a later date. And remember the offering baskets, which are available, and you can place your offering and tithes in the boxes as you leave. And also our missionary offering for missionary council offering for last week was £212. And that is all our announcements, and of course they're all subject to the will of God.
Well, I'm glad to be able to fill in this morning. And we trust the Lord will bless all the bereaved who have been mentioned there. That God will draw near to them, each one, and minister to their hearts at this time. We're going to sing 461, 461. Remain seated, please. We'll sing verses 1 and 3, and then we'll stand and sing verses 4 and 5 of this hymn. I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. Remaining seated for verses 1 to 3, and then standing for the last two verses. Again, if you have your Bible, do turn to the psalm that we read, Psalm 115. I took note there when Derek referred to the late brother Fred Starrett. I remember standing beside Fred. We were in Hillsborough Town Centre. I'll not go any further with that, but Fred was standing beside me. And I remember saying to Fred, "Fred, what are we doing here?" And Fred says, "I don't know." But we were there anyway. But thank God for his memory. And we pray the Lord will bless his family again at this time. With our Bibles open at Psalm 115, can we briefly seek the Lord in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for the hymns we have been singing, how, Lord, they express our thoughts and our desires and our sentiments. We have to say, Lord, that we are not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. But we thank thee for what is revealed. The secret things belong unto the Lord. But the things which he hath revealed belong unto us and to our children. So, Lord, we ask thee now to bless us as we consider Holy Scripture. And we pray that the blessed Spirit will take the words and write them on the fleshly tables of our hearts. That, Lord, we will hear thy word not only in our mind, but in our heart. and we might be even seized upon and arrested by the truth of Holy Scripture. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, bless us. May we all benefit, Lord, from hearing thy truth today. Give us a word, Lord, even for where we are in life, and counsel us from thy truth. I pray for the blessed Spirit of God to help now, to help me and to help each one as we turn to thy word for Christ's sake. Amen. There is a question that is asked in this psalm, and it's really upon that question that I want you to consider as we look at our Bible this morning. In verse 2 of Psalm 115, we read these words, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Where is now their God?" Now, this question is not being asked in this context by people who are sincerely seeking God. In fact, it is a question that is being asked by way of mockery, by way of blasphemy, as if they're saying, because of circumstances in which the people of God find themselves, as if they're lying back and they're taunting the people of God and they're saying, well, where is your God now? Where is your God now? This God that you profess to believe, this God that you profess to serve, this God that you profess to worship, where is he now? Now, this is not the first time this question is posed. If you turn with me to Psalm 42, Psalm 42, we read in this psalm, twice over, the very same question. In verse number 3 of Psalm 42, the psalmist says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And then if you come down the psalm to verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Can I give you one more reference? Psalm 79. Psalm 79 and the verse number 10. "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God?" So you can see from these texts of Scripture, and it's not only found in the book of Psalms, but in other places, it has been the lot of God's people to be taunted, to be mocked by the ungodly world and by false religions when they say to you and to me, well, where is your God now? Where is your God now? Now, the people asking this question in Psalm 115 are not atheists, though atheists would, of course, take up that taunt. But they are idolaters. They believe in gods. If you look there at verse 4, their idols are silver and gold. So they have a form of worship. But it's not the God of heaven. It's not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, atheists and agnostics would taunt the people of God with a question like this. I'll tell you what brought this to my mind just in the past week or so was the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, the two earthquakes. because people can look at that and people can see the awful destruction and devastation and the terrible number of dead. And they might say to you, and they might say to me, where's God? Where's God? But you know, sometimes a believer being pressed, a believer being attacked, a believer up against the wall may even ask, where's God? So it's a very real question. And as we consider this question this morning, in the light of events, and you know the world always has events, no sooner has something terrible happened and a few weeks later something else captures the attention of the world's media, and the thing that was is then forgot about, or at least it's put to the back of people's minds as this other thing then becomes prominent in the earth. Where is now their God? Where is God? Sometimes people say, you know, if there is a God, why doesn't he show himself? You've heard that, haven't you? If there is a God, why doesn't he say something? If there is a God, why does he not do something? Do you know the answer to those three questions? He has. Why doesn't God show himself? He has. Christ said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. When God manifested himself in flesh, what did they do? They crucified him. And do you seriously think they wouldn't do the same thing again if they could? Praise God, he's coming back the second time, not in humility, but in glory and in great power. Why does God not say something? He has. He has. And many more words do you need? Those of you who seek to read your Bible through once a year, you know, you need discipline to do that. There's a lot in this book. How many more words do men need? God has spoken. Why doesn't God do something? He has. He sent his Son from glory. And the Lord Jesus lived that perfect life in total obedience to the law of God, something we cannot do, not the best of us can do. He then went to the cross of Calvary and made an atonement for our sins, and all who believe in him and receive him and rest in him as Savior are saved, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. God has done a great thing. God has done a great thing. Oh, there are people who say, where is thy God? Because they're mocking and they're atheistic. You know, I read a quote recently from a man called William Temple. He says, I am greater than the stars. You know, Professor Brian Cox, have you ever seen him on the television, some of these programs about the universe? I heard him one day, he was sitting somewhere and looking up into the starry heavens, and he says, we are made of the very same things as the stars above us. Well, this man Temple made a great quote. He says, I am greater than the stars because I'm down here and I know they're up there. They're up there, but they don't know I'm down here. Think about it. You know, we're more than molecules and atoms and carbon and iron and all the vitamins and minerals that make up our human flesh and our physical being. We are made in the image of God. If you have a bowl sitting in your sideboard at home and two goldfish swimming in around it and they spend their life in that wee bowl, do you think those goldfish are saying one to another, I wonder why we're here? I wonder where we came from. I wonder where we're going. No, but men ask those questions. Every man asks those questions, every woman. They may not like to admit it, but when they're alone, and that's why the world and the devil doesn't like us being alone, that's why you go into town and they're blaring music at you. And it's not the best of music, I can tell you that. All this pop music nonsense. I was delivering the mail in Newton Arge one day, and I had to go into the toilet in the leisure centre, and even in there I hadn't peace. We're blasting music through a loudspeaker. But when a man gets alone and he starts to think, he's not like a goldfish. He's made in the image of God. He's made to know God. He's made to fellowship with God. He's made to be with God, but he sinned. And there is a gulf. Our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. And so Christ came. And we who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of his cross. Where is now your God? Where is God? People ask that question. Can I suggest to you this morning, it's the wrong question. It's the wrong question. Come with me to the book of Genesis. And the third chapter. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They're walking with God. They're loving God. They're fellowshipping with God. God is teaching them things. And then they fail. We call it the fall of man. They believed the serpent. They disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord comes in the cool of the day, verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now before Adam sinned, when Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, he ran to him. You know, God, I believe God shared with Adam things we've lost. Things about creation. I often say to myself, if Adam was here today, what God told that man, Adam probably would be a billionaire because he would know the cure to the common cold. He knew things. God shared with him. Do you remember God brought the animals and Adam had to name them? People think David Attenborough is a great soul. Nothing on Adam. Adam studied creation. But now, because he has disobeyed the Lord and sin has entered his heart and his mind, it says when he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now notice this. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You know, brothers and sisters, the question is not, where is God? That's not the question men should ask. The question men should ask is, where is man? Because I can tell you, every difficulty, every problem, every disaster, every crime, every disease, everything that's wrong with humanity and wrong with this world can be traced right back to the garden and right back to when Adam and Eve sinned. And the question is not, where is God? The question is, where is man? If you're ever down the town or you're speaking to a friend or family member and they say to you, where is God? Just you say, hold on, where is man? Where is man? You see, God came and God said to Adam, where art thou? Now, it wasn't that God didn't know where he was. Of course, God knew where he was. God knew he was hiding. But God was seeking to draw from Adam the confession of his sin, that Adam would acknowledge his true state now before a holy God. You see, where is man? People look at the earthquakes. Now, Christ said there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. We live in a fallen world. In fact, we live in an earth. The Bible says clearly it's waxing old, as doth a garment. And what happens to your clothes when they start to wear out? Buttons fall off. They get a bit threadbare. Better not look too closely at this. This is getting on. Things fall apart, don't they? There's a hole in your pocket and you can't put your change in it anymore because it disappears. This world is like that. It's growing old, it's groaning, it's creaking. And these earthquakes and cyclones and hurricanes, they are natural happenings. And yes, terrible disasters and awful, awful numbers can be killed. But where is man? Let me tell you something. I looked this up, Encyclopedia Britannica. It is reckoned in the First World War, 8,500,000 soldiers died. These are estimates because it's not possible to know exactly. 8,500,000 soldiers died. 13 million civilians died. Who did that? Who did that? Who killed those people? Man killed man. Men rose up and killed each other. For whatever reason they had, and let me say, I'm not a pacifist. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, but I'm not a warmonger neither, because even when a war is a just war, it's still awful and terrible, and it brings awful things to pass. But man was responsible. What about the Second World War? Well, it's very hard to make estimates. Some people say it could be as many as 60 million. Twenty 20% of the population of Poland died. 5,800,000 Polish people died in World War II. 4,200,000 Germans. 1,972,000 Japanese. Who did that? The question is not where is God, where's man? Man's lost. Because man has gone away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. Man is a depraved creature. And man will at times rise up. And some men, through sheer pride and self-glory and power, will invade another land to seek to exercise their will over the people of that land, and they don't care who they kill. They don't care. Ukraine, the United States of America reckon that Ukraine in the last year, 200,000 have died. Where is man? Well, people are quick to put the blame on God. Where is God? Listen, where is man? And I have to say this, and I know there's different opinions about this, but I cannot believe, with all whatever problems Mr. Putin had with the West and with NATO, you cannot justify what he's done. And I'll tell you this, personal view, but when I look at him, I don't think he's the type of a man sheds a tear for any Russian soldier. Never mind Ukrainian soldier. Where is man? When Adam fell, God came into the garden and he says, "Where art thou?" Here's an interesting figure. This is amazing. Oh, there's wars and there's rumors of wars. We know that. Do you know that, again, this is in the encyclopedia, since 1968, more Americans have died in gun-related incidents than in all the wars they fought since 1775. Who did that? Was it God? It was man. Man. Where is man? Oh, before people get on their high horse and before they start ridiculing and mocking God and mocking the people of God, let's ask the real question. Where is man? Why is man as he is? And here's another thing. Why can't man solve these problems? Take your Bible. Come over to 1 Corinthians. The first book of Corinthians. You know, this is a wonderful chapter one, indeed the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, because I discovered something one day when I was reading this. I realized not only do I need to be saved from the wrath of God, but I need to be saved from the wisdom of this world. And if you go through these chapters, the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, the apostle is constantly speaking about the wisdom of this world. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He asks the question, we're talking about questions this morning. Where is God? I'm saying that's not the right question. The question is, where is man? Look at it. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In other words, not only is man a fallen creature, not only does man bring upon himself awful trouble and destruction and death, not only does man bring that upon others in the name of some political ideology or whatever it might be, but man also doesn't have the answer. And Paul says, where's your philosophy? Where's your ideology? You go into the universities today. You go into the libraries today and you've got all these books. All these books. Boys, oh. All these books. And sometimes, you know, I wish I had done better at school. Because sometimes when I read things like this, I have to read them three or four times. And there's big words. I have to get my dictionary out to see what they mean. Man has had thousands of years to compile all this wisdom. And God says, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Now look at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All these books, all this philosophy, all this ideology, all this free thinking, all these religions, they can't bring man one step closer to God. The world by philosophy, the world by its own wisdom, knew not God. Thank God today in this place we have God's wisdom. We have God's book. We have God's truth. And you know, every day I read my Bible and I'm constantly, it's being proved to me again that this is the Word of God, because it explains God, it explains me, it explains what's happening in the world around me, explains it so clearly. And the world by wisdom knows not God. So people ask, where is God? I say, where is man? But let me close this morning by asking this question. Not only where is God, where is man? where are you? You know, when God came to Adam and Eve, there were only two human beings on the earth at that time. So it was very personal, wasn't it? It was for the man and it was for the woman. Where are you this morning? You know, we're thinking here about questions. You know, it's an interesting study to go through your Bible and take a note of all the questions that are asked in the Bible. Questions that God asked to man, questions that man asked to God, and questions that men asked of men. It's a very interesting study. Do you know the first question asked in the Bible? It wasn't God saying to Adam, where art thou? It was Satan saying to Eve, hath God said? Putting doubt on the word of God. That's why, by the way, the world's in the state it's in. There is a devil. And he hates God and he hates God's creation and he hates the word of God. But when God came and he said, where art thou? Where art thou? Very personal. Where are you today? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you a Christian? Are you part of this world? Are you still believing the world's philosophies? Or have you come and bowed the knee to the one in whom all wisdom is found, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ? But let me bring you to another question. Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi. And their feet are fast in the stocks and they've been beaten. And at midnight they're singing and they're praising God. And there's an earthquake. And the doors of the prisons open. And the jailer, who fears for his life, because after all he's working for the Roman authorities, he runs in. And Paul says, do yourself no harm, we're all here. Isn't that amazing? Nobody's scarpered. We're all here, and he says, sirs, listen to this question. What must I do to be saved? There's a great question. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a simple question this morning. Where are you? Are you saved? Do you believe? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him alone and resting in him alone for your salvation? Thank God I know many here are, but where are you? Go back to Psalm 115, because the answer is given to the question. It's not that we're saying there's no answer to this question. The question was asked, verse 2, Psalm 115, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Here's the answer, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. Now that is not simply saying where God is located. The expression, or God is in the heavens, means this: he is ruling. He is sovereign over all. In other words, he's where he's always been, where he is, and where he always will be. And it goes on to say, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know, we don't believe this morning in a God who is subject to the whims of man. The great men meet in their great congresses and the United Nations and NATO and all these, and they're discussing what to do and how to solve these problems. Maybe many of them doing the best they can. I'm not mocking them. Though some of them are gangsters, let's be honest. But some of them are doing their best. You know, God is not at their whim. God will do whatever he hath pleased. This is the God of the Bible. This is the only God. This is the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ. People look at that and they say, oh no, oh no. I don't want a God like that. I want a God who will do what I please, not what he pleases. Well, there is no God like that. Well, there's man-made gods, and he goes on to say that in verses 4 down to verse 8. But I say to you this morning, why should you trust this God? Why should you trust the God of the Bible? Well, look at verse 10, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help. A lot of people need help today. I saw a terrible, terrible item on the news from Philadelphia in America. Did anybody see it? There's a new drug. And people are breaking out in terrible, terrible sores. And they're living on the streets. And one of the richest countries in the world, the land of the brave and the free, and yet man has been brought down to that level. But you know, when you trust the Lord, he is your help and your shield. Verse number 10, he is your help and your shield. Verse number 11, he is your help and your shield. Verse number 12, he will be mindful of us. I remember one day thinking to myself, I wonder what God thinks about. It's a big subject, isn't it? A deep subject. You know what God thinks about? You know what is in God's mind constantly? His believing children. If you're saved in this house this morning, God thinks about you. God's mind is full of favor and grace and mercy for you, because you're in Christ. He will bless, he will bless, he will bless. You're blessed of the Lord. Verse 18, the last verse, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. So I put it to you this morning. A few simple thoughts, but they arose in my own mind and heart because of the earthquakes. If somebody says to you, where is God? You say, hold on a minute. Before I answer that, let me ask you a question. Where is man? And then ask them this, and where are you? You're going out into eternity. Are you going out without the Lord? Out into the wrath of God, that place called hell? Or are you going out under the blood, saved by grace alone, to heaven and to home for all eternity? People try and intimidate us, you know. Where's your God? God is where he's always been. Always will be, and where he is. But where are you this morning? I trust you'll trust Christ. You'll be a believer from this moment on. And may the Lord's people be encouraged. Let us not be intimidated. Let us not give up. But keep in the book and keep looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're going to close with the hymn 474.